With this transition to a collective farm, you've upped your game in a lot of different ways. There's a whole story there that I think young farmers and farmers who are looking to build a stronger business might learn from. Can you give us a sense of how that started, where the idea of farmers getting together and farming together under an LLC, where did that come from and how did you do it?
So this really ties us back to community that you were talking about before. We are lucky enough to have a really generous community of small farms and farm advocates in the area here. And we've been getting together routinely and sharing solutions and commiserating and trying to figure it out in a community-minded, cooperative sense. And I think that's a real treasure. I think that's really important. And so I think thanks to that, I think I can credit all of the people I ended up with. I know Hannah, who was running the Land Loom, she had this thought that, hey, you know, maybe we should talk about going together and farming as a group. And her and I had spoken previously about doing some kind of half measure where we would both have our own farm, but we would market together. And it seemed like it was a good idea. It seemed like it had some traction. And then the growing season happened and you just get swept away like you do. And then it's like, oh, it's winter again. Whoops, we didn't do it. So it was the fall of 2019, or maybe the late summer, Hannah started floating this idea, and it made sense to me, and it made sense to our friends at Green Things, and that would be Jill, Nate, and Michelle. And so the five of us got together at Green Things Farm and started talking about what it would take to farm together, to farm collaboratively. It felt to me like the first stage of this process was more like therapy. And then the later stage was more like starting a business. And what I mean by therapy is, first of all, this was in the middle of the growing season and we were all tired. And we were also all admitting to each other that the thing we were currently doing, which was running our own small farm business, was maybe not working or was struggling or wasn't fulfilling in some way. And that's hard, you know, that's hard to admit. You know, it's something that you care really deeply about. It's sort of scary a little bit. These are friends, but they're also, you know, to admit to someone something that personal. And so it took a few meetings for us to just sort of talk that piece of it out and think, well, you know, could it be better if we were one business? And I think it became clear at that point that it was important not to do what I had called earlier a half measure. You know, something where, you know, we're all still our own farm. I could have imagined a path where we all farmed on the same property, but we kept our own businesses and we negotiated a schedule for shared infrastructure. That could have gotten really messy. And so we started a new business. We formed an LLC, and I think the structure of the business could be whatever it needs to be. I know you can form an LLC that is singularly owned, but you can also form an LLC that's collectively owned. And so we formed an LLC that we each owned equally. You have to put in some money in an equal amount, and then you just form this new LLC. And then that new LLC that we all owned purchased our existing businesses, I guess, from ourselves. I hope that's not confusing. But the reason we did it that way is because then we all from the beginning own this thing equally.
So essentially, you formed an LLC, which then you became owner of, and then you had to take this perhaps somewhat scary step, I'm guessing, of selling the businesses that you had created to this new entity that you had also collaborated with your new business partners. Is that summarized basically what happened there?
Yeah, and it is scary. We weren't professional lawyers, and so we did this with the benefit of a lawyer that was actually a member of the community, the partner of a local farmer that we knew. And so we had this amazing resource of someone who was able to work with us. And much like my earlier example of something mechanical, you know, the five of us were feeling very daunted by this, like, oh, geez, how do we even do this? And he's like, oh, it's easy. you just, here, I'll just draft up the thing. It's real standard. And it was like, you know, what a relief. And so we still had to do the hard part, which is come up with an agreement on like how we were going to run this business, how we were going to resolve conflicts, how are we going to actually farm together, which is still a work in process, of course, and always will be. But the paperwork side, having a lawyer that can do that and someone who is hired to work on behalf of this new farm entity. So he had the interest of this, you know, he cared about our success. And so I think that was really valuable. It got us to our first season. How about that?
So were there any models that you worked from as you looked at the options that you had collectively that helped you decide on the LLC? What are some of the other things that factored into that decision?
I mean, there are. It's not super common, but there are collaborative farm models. The one that comes to mind quickly, there's a farm in Quebec that's run by a group. It's a collaborative operation. I think it shares a lot of similarities to what we're doing. And I had met Dan Brisois because he's also a seed grower. I had met him at conferences and we had heard through podcasts, heard of their seed saving work, but also through their collaborative farming work. And he was kind enough to speak to us over the phone while we were preparing and giving us the benefit of his experience. So I think that was very generous and helpful. So there are models. It isn't super common. Like we were talking about earlier, farmers are very independent.
Suppose somebody's saying, well, I've been at this for a while, and this sounds interesting. What's the one or two or three pieces of advice for someone who's even considering doing this that you would give to say, yeah, if you want to succeed, if you want to give it a try, do these things?
Think of it like marrying these people. It's a serious relationship. It's a serious commitment. And so the strength that we had going into this is we all knew each other and we all trusted each other's commitment to the same core values. We spent time coming up with a mission statement. And so I think it's enormously helpful to have this like deep trust in sort of the heart of everyone that you're working with, because I'm not their boss and they're not my boss. We're co-equal owners of this thing. And also, farming is very, very challenging as a career, but one of the bright sides of it is the people that are involved are deeply invested and passionate. And that's a real asset. Goodness, I get to meet some of the hardest working, most caring. Honestly, I think that's one of my favorite things about being a farmer is the quality of people that I get to meet. But man, we all care so much about this farm that we can be real pains because like, you know, how dare you disagree with me on my very, very passionate project? I was talking with a friend of mine and he's not a farmer. And he goes, it sounds like y'all are in a rock band. Y'all care very much. And every now and then someone has a tantrum and loses their cool. And we wonder, is the band going to stick it out? Are they going to make it? It's maybe not that dramatic. We've never trashed a hotel room yet.
I'm seeing that you've done work that is innovative in your farming that's grown out of skill sets that are coming together and different experiences and so on. You've also referred to the collegiality of a more satisfying work environment rather than just going it on your own. How's the finances working out? It's a piece of what makes farming sustainable is it's got to be financially sustainable. So how's that working out so far?
So far, so good. I mean, that's a hard question to answer simply, but we met our goals for 2020 and had enough money to pay ourselves what we were intending and to pay our crew and to reinvest back into the farm. And to have that in our first year feels like a runaway success. So I'm really thrilled and optimistic. 2020 was a unique year and we benefited from the extreme interest that people had both in locally grown produce and in seeds in that year. I think, you know, 2020 was a hard year for so many people, and it's awkward to speak of the silver lining, but folks were keenly interested in their local farms, and we dearly appreciated that. So financially, I feel like it can be possible. Our goals for paying ourselves are very, very modest, and we still do need to slowly but surely increase the amount of money that we take home at the end of the day before we could call it a living wage. We're not there yet, but it seems within reach. I think the no-till practices are going to help with that. We're seeing greater reliability in the crops that we plant. So just sort of the chance that something that you planted gets to be a successful harvest, or that the yield of that successful harvest is profitable, that it feels more consistent. There's still a huge amount to sort of learn and to work out, and we're interested in that. But I also see us being in a pretty good position to see what worked from our growing season and to increase our profitable crops and to step away from those that really weren't working. These things sound really basic, but anyone who's full-time farming knows that sometimes you get so swept up in the season, you get to the end of it and you're like, so what even happened? And maybe that's part of the strength of having five of us, is there is more of a chance that someone's mind is able to learn a lesson during the busy season or to keep the right record. I know when I was farming on my own, I often felt so overwhelmed. I was dealing with just what was right in front of me. What is today's problem? And that's not a good sign. Now that we can kind of divide some of that burden, I'm more able to think long-term. What are we doing in the next weeks or months or years?
So we can add planning and record keeping and some of these other administrative shared functions that not only distribute the workload of the administrative challenges of running the farm, but they also make sure that balls don't get dropped and may keep the right kind of records and notice the right kinds of things to make sure that the farm doesn't, you know, start to wobble. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sometimes it's as simple as that. If you're able to think beyond just today's problem, that's a good sign of like, okay, we're doing okay right now. And having five of us helps divide that sort of that mental workload. I think non-farmers, well, not even just non-farmers, someone who hasn't run a small business might be surprised at just how overwhelming and how many different fields you have to be an expert in. How much of farming is spreadsheets and planning and marketing and website and the whole thing. It's a business.
Were there any big surprises along the way?
You know, I don't know if it was a huge, huge surprise, but boy, oh boy, it takes a lot of communication to have five equal owners managing something. And that's sort of the advantage of a more simple top-down, you know, I'm the boss, you do what I say or get out of here. Like, you know, at least that was a quick meeting. When there's five of us, we are all coming with our own perspectives and our own ways of listening and our own ways of hearing and observing and our own priorities. And frankly, sometimes one of us will be really tired or really overwhelmed by something. And if you think of a normal farm year where you could be working long hours or you could just be physically tired, and then add all the stresses of a, you know, a COVID year and a year with a lot of upsetting political news, it really does feel like being kind to each other and being good communicators is really at the core of running the business.
Looking forward, is there anything that you're considering doing different or changing for the upcoming season?
Yeah, absolutely. In all of those fields, we're looking to continue to get better. And so I could certainly grow as a communicator myself. And so being better at listening and speaking with my team, for sure. We're also improving as growers. These no-till practices, we're a couple of years in, and that makes us beginners. And so there's a huge amount to learn as we go forward. And I think the practices will change. Those first years are sort of establishment, and then the later years are kind of more maintenance. And so what does that transition look like? From a soil health and a soil maintenance point of view, I'm really excited to learn about that. And then marketing is maybe the most important part of any farm. And so how is that going to change? You know, COVID was the big upset of this last year. And what are the changes that we need to do to stay relevant, to stay serving our community the best we can with the best food? So I don't know, I could go on and on. Like there's so much we need to do. We'll never be bored.